I want to finish up the series that we're talking about in the gifts of the Spirit. We've been on it for a long time. We call this part the toolbox of the Holy Spirit. And so if you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then we'll just kind of talk a little bit about the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. And then we're going to go into chapter 14, which explains it a lot better. And then we're gonna try to find out, why is this a motivational gift? Why a motivational gift is one, it's a power gift. So it's a controversial thing, speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues and worshiping in tongues. And we're a Pentecostal church, and we do that because God has blessed us with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we believe that everything that God said in His Word is for today. Amen? I believe that the only way that we can live in this world today, and we've traveled a bit in this world, the spiritual warfare is so thick and so powerful that you can't do it on religion alone. You got to have the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and you got to have the demonstrative expression of the Holy Spirit in all that you do. You have to become a carrier of the Holy Spirit and express that in everything that you do. Do you believe that? That's what we need to be. We need to be Pentecostal people, not Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. That's a good denomination, but that's not what God started. He didn't start the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. He started the Pentecostal church in the book of Acts in Jerusalem in the upper room. And that's who we are. We're an Acts church. We believe that everything that happened in the book of Acts, everything that happened in the Gospels, these things you shall do and greater. Yeah? I believe it. I love it. That's scary though, right? Wouldn't it be better just to be religious and just, you know, talk to people and ask them to come to church? But if there's a need, you know, somebody's sick, what do? Give them a DVD or something like that, or something like that. No, it says just lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Ah, well, it doesn't work all the time. That's not your business. Just let it happen. Because when it does happen, you go, I usually do this. Can you believe that? Like, I have faith for everything. Can you believe that? It actually happened. I'm healed. Or you've laid hands on somebody and they're healed. God has a plan. And part of that plan is tongues and interpretation and worship in tongues. They're two different things. But they're very confusing and they're very scary, right? You want to, I don't know, when you first... Maybe some haven't even been baptized in the Holy Spirit, and somebody said, well, just start to speak things that are in your mind. And you go, I'm not going to say that out loud. Like, I'm, you know, like, blah, 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 blah. You know, like, it doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't need to make any sense to you, because it could be a heavenly language or it could be an earthly language. And sometimes what's happened is people trying to refute that there's tongues and interpretation say, well, we've actually taped those tongues, and we sent them off to a linguist, and they said, no, there's no tongue that speaks that way. So that's the end of the story, right? Except in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, it says, you'll speak with the tongues of men and angels. We don't have any angel tongues on file. But God does. We need to, is your tongue the hardest member in your body to control? Yeah, husbands and wives know that, right? You can be, oh, I love you, here's some roses, and then, what are you doing? Don't you pick up your underwear? Come on! What's wrong with you? You don't like this food? I sweat over a stove every day and blah, blah, blah. Right? It comes from the same mouth. Because we have a hard time, James says, we have a hard time with this little member that goes like this. We talk, we rip people apart, and then we build people up. So we need to give that tongue over to the Lord. And sometimes we don't even know how to pray. Do you know how to pray in every situation? I don't. Maybe I shouldn't tell you that because I'm your pastor, and you're like, what does this guy do? I don't know how to pray in every situation, but I do know that I can pray in tongues. And Romans 8 says that He will give you utterance. He'll come by inside of you. He will live inside of you. He lives inside of you, and He will express what you need to in tongues. And that's sometimes the only way you can battle the spiritual darkness that's around us. And sometimes the distractions are so much, they can be any area. They can be in the service while you're worshiping and your mind is going into places where you think, no, that's not even happening. But it is happening. And so what you need to do is you need to pray in tongues. You need to rebuke the devil in tongues. You need to clear the way in tongues. You need to speak out. You need to give that member and your brain, we talked about the soul before, you need to give that battleground over to the Lord. And this is one way of doing it. And boy, is it ever controversial. And I think the Lord likes that because you really have to commit yourself to being Pentecostal. It's easy to go in a general flow. But today we can't. We have to have a church that's on fire. We have to have a church that's on fire. We have to have a church that knows that there's a battle going on in people's lives as they drive by our church. Some of them are going to go to hell. You just watch the news and see how many people are being murdered and killed and bus accidents and all sorts of things, dying of cancer, all these kind of things. If they don't know Jesus Christ, they're going to hell. We need to intervene. How do you like that? That's what we're supposed to do. And we can do that far easier with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So, let's go to some notes here. The Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada has a statement of truths. So we have our statement, basically a statement of faith. And so in 5.6.3, all of you know this anyway, it says the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience in which every believer yields control to them, of themselves to the Holy Spirit. Through this, the believer comes to know Christ in a more intimate way and receives power to witness and to grow spiritually. Believers should earnestly seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit according to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. The initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives us utterance. The experience is distinct and subsequent from the experience of the new birth. So you get saved, and you get the Holy Spirit, and you get the Father, and you get Jesus. But when you get baptized, and when you ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit gets all of you, and you start to be his instrument of grace and power and love. And part of that is that you yield up your tongue and your thinker to the Holy Spirit. We need to do that because there's this battle going on all the time. So this is part of what we believe as a Pentecostal church. That's not good enough reason to get baptized in the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And then if you work in the gift of tongues and interpretation, to use that. The reason is that there are people that need to hear that God loves them, that he's a good, good father. And we are blessed to be able to do that, right? That's what it's all about. That's the why of why we exist. Otherwise, I think God would just get us, we'd get saved and off we'd go to glory. That'd be easier, but then I wouldn't have a job. Like, I need a job to care for you and love you. And speaking of people getting saved, in the last three Sundays, every Sunday somebody's gotten saved. Every Sunday, five people in the last three Sundays have accepted Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? And an exciting part is we have prayer lines and we have altar calls and that. And usually it's after that. It's like after the service, and Pastor Stephen will be at our staff meeting and go, forgot to tell you, Pastor, you've done this quite a few times now. Two people got saved. Three people got saved. One person got saved. And it's like, this is awesome. And on next week, we're going to have a water baptism for a lady who came from China, got saved here, and wants to get baptized before she goes back. God is doing some awesome things in our lives and in the lives of people. And so we need to be equipped, we need to be empowered, we need to be sharp, we need to understand what God wants from each one of us. So there's two kinds of tongues. First, the initial evidence of the tongues of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we've talked about that before. In Acts chapter 2:4, it says, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So that was and Jesus said, go up to the upper room, stay there. 120 of them stayed there. And it was actually an amazing experience because they didn't know what to expect. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came blowing in like a Russian wind. Not a Ukrainian or a Polish wind, but a Russian wind. Came rushing in. And that would have scared, sound like a train, I guess, because other people have experienced that. Actually, in China, there was just this powerful move of the Holy Spirit in an underground church, and they actually recorded it, and the Holy Spirit came in, and it sounded like a train going by. Ever lived by a train track? It kind of takes your attention away from whatever you're doing when the train goes by. And then tongues of fire fell on their head. Well, you don't think that would kind of stir up the pastor and the team that were there? So everybody, all of a sudden, right now, the Holy Spirit comes whipping through the door, blows the doors off, just screams through here like a cyclone, and then everybody has tongues of fire on their head. You think that might disturb the service a bit? And out of that, that was the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, but inside, they all started to speak with different tongues, and they went down, and they spoke to all the different people, over 1 million people that had gathered there. And they heard them praising the Lord in their own tongue. And these people didn't speak those languages. Isn't that awesome? It was awesome. And so there's some other experiences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 10, 45 to 46, said the circumcised believers, or the Jews at that time, who had come to Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. They heard them speaking in tongues. Acts 19, 5 to 7. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there was about a dozen of them altogether. So they spoke in tongues. And that's not a badge to wear. Like, you know, I remember going to a meeting, a Full Gospel Businessmen's meeting, and people were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. So then for testimonies, they had a guy come up and they said, say a few words in tongues. That's not what it's about. That's not what it's about. The thing is, it's about being sensitive and open and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you and speak through you and to praise. When you're in a joint family kind of a group like this, and to praise and worship God, but also to spend time just praising Him on your own. That's that type of tongues. The second is the gift of tongues and interpretation of these tongues, as we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. It says simply, to another in different kinds of tongues, and still another the interpretation of these tongues. So, if we're all together and we're worshiping and people are speaking in tongues, that should be, hey, there they are. Hey, there's my boy and my girl. Right on. Welcome. So you're speaking in these tongues, but if you just come out really loud and everybody is distracted by that and nobody understands what's going on, it's not helpful to anyone. And we'll look in chapter 14 where if it's an unbeliever that comes in, they'll think you're nuts. Well, they don't say it that way. That's just kind of a translation I have. But they will kind of wonder what's going on. And obviously, so if you have a word in tongues and you speak that out above everyone, it has to be done in order. But when you speak that above everyone, there needs to be an interpreter. And it's interesting in a group like this that language might be the language, you might be your mother tongue, and you will understand it. Or somebody will interpret. And I really like it when somebody else interprets it instead of the person with tongues. I really do, because we want the Holy Spirit to work here. And it should. And if there's no interpretation, it's not the Holy Spirit. Cut and dried. So I remember one time, I'm preaching this, same thing in one of our churches, saying all you have to do is just step out in your gifts. Come on, God is giving you the strength to step out in your gifts. So I went to a conference with all my pastor peer friends, and the Holy Spirit said to me, and I never spoke in this way in any of this gifts before. And the Holy Spirit said to me, while we're worshiping, you're going to give a message in tongues. And I said, no, I'm not. And then the bile in my throat, you know what, that's like acid burned up here. And he said, yes, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And he comes back up here. About three times it burned so bad, I said, okay, but this is the deal. Like, I always talk to God, this is the deal. If I do this, you have to guarantee. I'm telling God, okay? Now, I'm the guy that tells you, just step out in your gift. Don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. I'm terrified because I don't want to look stupid. I don't want to give this gift in tongues and then it not be interpreted. I don't want to make up something just so I look good either. So I said, this is the deal. Elaine will interpret. She has no idea. She has never heard me give this message in tongues. And I got this stomach thing going on. I'm just ready to vomit because I don't want to even be doing this. But I remember the words are coming to you. Oh, you just told your congregation to do this. So here's all my peers. And you know how it is. In the worship service, there's this quiet time. And then it was like I opened my mouth and this message came out in tongues. And then I said, okay, God, now I did my part, you do yours. And it seemed like an hour and a half was only about 4 seconds, and Elaine interpreted that. Now, that's not the way you do it. That's the way I had to trust him to do it. I've never been used in that gift again. But at the time, sometimes God just uses us, and so you need to be able to trust him and maybe make a deal. I don't know. But it was important that I was obedient. That's the thing with all these gifts, is that you're obedient. You step out and not worry about your reputation, not worry about whether God's going to do it or not. You need to agree to do it because it's God, and we're showing people in this world that our God loves them and has the power over everything. So every one of you needs to be obedient. So why tongues? Why can't he choose something else? Why do you got to speak in tongues? Well, let's go back to Genesis, chapter 11, verses 1 to 7. Now, the whole world had one language in common speech. I have traveled quite a few places in the world, and I've always had an interrupter or an interpreter. And I wish, even we have a sister here from Italy who just started coming. She's going to university here. And so we just talked for a few minutes in the foyer, and she says, why you can't speak Italian, you know? Like, and I can't. I have trouble with English. But I would love to be able to speak every language. I'd love to speak Hindi. I'd love to speak Mandarin. I'd love to speak all that. I'd like to speak from Newfoundland even would be good. You know, I would love to speak every dialect that is around. But I don't know whether I kind of tell myself, well, I can't learn. But yes, you can learn. But there was a time when there was only one language. Can you imagine what could be accomplished? So let's read on. It says, as people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar, and they settled there. And they said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they used bricks instead of stone and tar and mortar. For they said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches the heavens so that we can make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered all over the face of the earth. I love this. This gives us kind of an idea of how big God is and how small we are. But God came down, right? So here's God looking, and all these little people run around. Let's build a tower. Let's build a tower. Let's build a tower. Just about this high, you know. And they go, what are they doing down there? Oh, let's go down and take a look. They're going to build a tower to reach the heavens so they can be someone and they can accomplish things. This is what God said. He came down, looked at the tower and the people were building, and he said, if as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. So let's go down and confuse their language so they'll not understand each other. Isn't that an interesting statement? Then nothing they plan will be impossible for themselves. Why tongues? Because it destroyed the ability for them to grab together and to resist God, in a sense. Why do we have tongues and interpretation of tongues and tongues and worship? Because we are now in the language of God, and with God, nothing is impossible. Do you hear that? We have interpreters, but the most exciting thing for me was when I was in India, and the power of God is so amazing. There was a Hindu man who accepted Jesus and got a Bible, but had never had any education, never learned to read. And God taught him to read. God taught him to read from his word. And when we were at that conference, he read from the scriptures. Isn't that awesome? And he glorified God by reading from the scriptures. That's the same thing we're talking about. So Paul explains it this way in chapter 14, verses 1 to 5. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but instead to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strength and encouraging comfort. And we need prophecy. And Paul says that quite often. Seek prophecy, but don't neglect the other gifts. Because when somebody prophesies here, it edifies and encourages each one of us, and it's usually in the language of the church or the majority, and so it speaks out this encouragement. Paul goes on to say, anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. So when you're speaking in tongues, worship tongues, you're edifying yourself. When you're praying in tongues, I can pray in tongues for hours in the morning or when I'm driving or whenever. I remember one time, I probably told you this story before, but one of the guys in the ambulance service, I had the opportunity to lead him to Christ, and then he phoned me on the hotline when I was working at one of the stations. This is a recorded line, and he goes, Jim, I'm saved now, and I would like to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. What's this about? So I told him all about it, and then I says, you want to pray? And he says, sure. So so I prayed, and he started speaking in tongues. It's all recorded, right? Because all the calls are recorded. And then he just hangs up. And then he says, for the rest of the shift, he was afraid to get a call because he didn't know whether he'd just speak in tongues to the person because it was so new to him. But he was just open, and it just flowed out of him. And that's what it is. It's not a struggle. If you're struggling with it, just release it to him. Just release it. You're not second class if you don't get it. Anybody who asks for it gets it. There's lots of reasons why you don't get it, but just let him flow inside of you and let him speak through you. It's wonderful freedom to worship him. We need to do that. We need to edify ourselves, but we also need to prophesy to edify the church. I would like that every one of you speak in tongues, but I'd rather have you prophesy. He's kind of leaning that way, isn't he, Paul? The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless somebody interprets, so that the church might be edified. So, prophecy is important, but prophecy isn't the high gift. Tongues is equal if it's interpreted. If it's not interpreted, it's confusing. And so we need to have things done in order. We need to have things that flow in the Holy Spirit. Paul goes on to say, now, brothers and sisters, I've come to you and speak in tongues. What good will I be to you unless I give you some revelation or knowledge of prophecy or word of instruction? Even in the case of lifeless things that make sound, such as the pipe or the harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there's a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? We know that if we have had anybody playing instruments in our house for the first time. They're just learning the violin or something. All the animals for blocks away are gone. You know, somebody playing a trumpet for the first time, you know that someday they might be good. But they're not very good now. You know, the bagpipes, my goodness. There's just something that in the beginning, there has to be some sequence and there has to be some way of getting the distinction of what the song is through an instrument. And same with God. You don't actually learn how to speak in tongues. Again, in the 70s, when we got saved, it was like, here, let me teach you how to speak in tongues. No. No, say after me. No, don't say after them. Say after the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit speak it out. Don't repeat a bunch of mumble jumble just so you can speak in tongues. You need to actually let the Holy Spirit speak through you. That's a big step of faith. So Paul says this, so is it with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will just be speaking into the air. We don't need people speaking into the air. We need people speaking into people's hearts by the Holy Spirit. Undoubtedly, there will be all sorts of languages in the world, yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what some are saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker. And a speaker is a foreigner to me. So is it with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. We actually need to work in this area of our lives. We need to develop the power. We need to develop these motivational gifts. Because just like that Hindu man who learned how to speak and read the Bible, that was powerful. To people who needed to know the power of God. God can do anything. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. And we need to believe that. So then we need to step out in all these gifts that we talked about and believe that he wants to do those in our lives. So Paul says, for this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that there may be an interpreter to what they say. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do then? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, and also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put into the position of an inquirer say amen to your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you are saying? You're giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. So God's still being blessed, but you're causing some confusion. And God is not a God of confusion. So the whole thing about the Pentecostals and speaking in tongues it's actually been a separating barrier from all the other different denominations. Charismatic, obviously, the movement was very much speaking in tongues and the gifts of the Spirit. But we have to be people who don't focus on the gift, but focus on the giver. And be conduits, that's it. Just clean vessels to deliver what the Holy Spirit wants, when he wants, where he wants, to whom he wants. So Paul says this, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's a bit of an arrogant statement, isn't it? But in the church, I'd rather speak 5 intelligible words and instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. In other words, we need to be able to relate the message that God wants for us. When I was in Poland, the pastor said, I'm going to be your interpreter. I'm not going to be your translator because he's the senior pastor of that church. He says, I'm going to tell the people what I want them to hear in case you don't. So I understood the difference between an interpreter and a translator. Translator takes word for word for word. Interpreter says, this is what he said. So I don't even know what he said to the congregation. I preached. I think he was pretty good at interpreting the message I had to say. But the reality is, unless somebody interprets, unless somebody knows what you're talking about, you're really not doing anything to edify God. Brothers and sisters, stop thinking like children in regard to evil or in regard to evil, be infants, but in your thinking, be adults. In the law, it is written, with other tongues and through the lips of foreigners, I will speak to this people, but even then, they will not listen to me, says the Lord. Think of the Wycliffe Bible translators. They go into places where there's no languages. There's still places in our world today where there's no languages. And they actually go in and they listen to the intonations, and they look at the different objects that they're describing with their words, and they create an alphabet, and they create words, and they create a language so that they can speak out. That's really practical at what we're talking about here, because then they translate that scriptures into that, and people come to Christ. So Paul says, tongues then are not a sign, then are a sign, not for believers, but for unbelievers. Isn't that interesting? We think, well, we shouldn't have tongues and we shouldn't have the Pentecostal stuff, because if somebody's coming seeking the Lord, it'll drive them out because they'll think we're nuts. Not if it's the Holy Spirit. If it's the flesh, they're gone. And rightly so. They should go. But when it's the Holy Spirit speaking through you, then that attracts them, draws them. Prophecy, however, is not for the unbelievers, but for the believers. So the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and inquirers or unbelievers come in. They will not say that you're out of, will they not say that you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, then they are convicted of their sin and are brought under the judgment by all, as the secrets of the heart are laid bare. So they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. How many times have you been in a service and the Holy Spirit has just spoken into your heart? For some people, and we just shared that here, that in the last three Sundays, five people came to Christ because the Holy Spirit spoke into their heart. And interestingly enough, it was interpreted for some people because they don't speak English. Sometimes you can sense the spirit in another person even though you can't communicate in the same language. Is that correct? You kind of feel that. You feel that, you know, that you're actually connecting and the Holy Spirit is ministering and you are getting blessed. You can do that because there's times in worship when we're in a different country or a different place and we're worshiping and the Holy Spirit just moves in our lives in that service and we don't even know any of the words. Because the Holy Spirit moves, and he moves in people's lives that aren't saved, that don't know him, because he wants to show them the power of his love. And he can break the barrier of language. That's not a barrier for God. So I wanted to give it to you, the same scripture about this area in the Amplified, and it says, thus unknown tongues are meant for a supernatural sign. That's why they're motivational gifts. Supernatural. That's why there's healing. That's why there's the different gifts that we talked about. There's that, because people need to see the power of God and his love. Not for the believers, but for the unbelievers on the point of believing. While prophecy, inspired, which is inspired preaching and teaching and interpreting the divine will and purpose of God, is not for unbelievers on the point of believing, but for believers. Therefore, if the whole church assembles and all of you speak in unknown tongues, and the ungifted and uninitiated or unbelievers come in, will they not say that you are demented? We don't gather for ourselves to do stuff for ourselves. We gather, the why of this church is to draw people in. To draw people in so that they can sense the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. It's not because the preacher is a good preacher. It's not because the worship band's a good worship band. We got to set aside that. We got to set aside all those things that make us feel good, really, and say, why are we here? We're here for the lost. And we need to be encouraged and we need to be lifted up and when we gather, but we're here to win souls for Christ. Right? Yeah, there's five of you. I know you know that. And we got to, when we do that, when we focus on Jesus and not on our own self, and we focus on what is the best for somebody who walks through the door that's never been here before, we say, hey, let's just focus on God so that His presence is here and that His Holy Spirit does a work in people's lives. The Amplified goes on to say, but if all prophecy, which is giving inspired testimony and interpreting the divine will and purpose, and an unbeliever or an untaught outsider comes in, he is told of his sin, convicted of his sin, and reproved and convicted and convinced by all, and his defects and needs are examined. They're estimated, determined, and he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are laid bare, and so falling on his face, he will worship God, declaring that God is among you in the very truth. Wow. This is what it's about. You know, I remember the Holy Spirit when Elaine and I first got saved. The whole service was kind of crazy. And it was like the Holy Spirit convicted us of our sin. And of course, the pastor, I told you this, said, I just feel that there's two people here that don't know Jesus. Well, we know that he was related to everybody else, so in the church, because there's only 12 of us there anyway. And so it wasn't a Holy Spirit statement from him, but it was the Holy Spirit conviction in us, and we stood up. We didn't know whether we were the two people or not, but we knew that we needed Jesus Christ to come into our lives. And that's what it's all about, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit ministering. And so the gift of tongues and the gift of interpretation and that is so important. It's just as much as healing and prophecy and the different gifts of power. So Paul goes on to say this, what then shall we say, brothers and sisters, when we come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at most three should speak one at a time, and somebody must interpret. So let me encourage you as a church, we want you to move out in this gift. We want you to step out in tongues and interpretation. But I would like you to resist interpreting your own tongues. Okay? What it does is it kind of lets you think about, this is just something I want to do, or is this something God wants me to do? And I'll trust you, God, that you'll come up with somebody else, okay? Because I know I've spoke to other people who said, you know what? I had the same interpretation for that message that was given. So let the body work together. So if you give tongues, somebody else be ready to give the interpretation of those tongues. So you know what that means? It means that when you come to service, you need to be prepared to be used of God. Just don't come here to get the fill up once a week. You need to come prepared, for God's going to use you. God will use you, every one of you. God will use you if you're willing. He'll use you in the area of healing. You might feel that God wants you to just go over to somebody and just lay hands on them, or just ask him, do you want me to pray for you? I just sense, and he might give you even what's going on in their life. You have permission to do that for me. If you mess the whole service up and you do it with the Holy Spirit, I'm okay. If you mess the service up and you're doing it on your own, that's not okay. But please, we need to be a functioning church in the gifts of the Spirit, so that we can see the power and we can tell people, or they can see the love of God in our lives. And that we're vehicles, we're vessels, we're conduits for the Holy Spirit. That is why people are getting saved here. That's why people are getting baptized here. That's why people are getting filled with the Holy Spirit, is because the Spirit of God is moving in this church. And that's exciting, and it's not because I'm a superstar and you're so fortunate to have me. I know Val thinks that and it's nice, but it's not true. It's not true. It's that you are open to the moving of the Holy Spirit. Pastor Randy has a gift to lead us in a team to lead us in worship. So we find ourselves right in the throne room of God. And I'll tell you, when you're in the throne room of God, when you're in the presence of God, the power of the Holy Spirit will move through your lives. You just have to be obedient. And we need to be obedient because there's so many people that drive by this road every day that live in this neighborhood that are going to hell if they don't know Jesus, and he's the only way. And we don't have much time because he's coming back. Honestly, he's coming back. As we get older, preachers especially say he's coming back because they're probably going to die and he'll come back for them and things will go on. I'm talking to you that the world is going to see Jesus come back, and we need to have done our work before then because we can't do it after. We just can't do it after. So two or three prophets should speak. This is the spiritual protocol, and others should weigh carefully what is said. Oh, man, I can't emphasize this enough. Be careful. Be careful in the prophecies that you hear. This is the big thing today, and I've talked to you about this when we talked about prophecy. There's prophecy that come over the internet. There's prophecies on every television, Christian television program, that there's prophecies. Check them out. There's some nutcases out there. There's some unstable people. There's some people without any covering. You need to know who's prophesying into your life. And do not receive if you do not feel good. Peace is the indicator whether this is the Holy Spirit or not. Do not just grab onto anything that's coming by. Do your homework. Be diligent. Because we're in the end times, and there's lots of false Christs and there's lots of false prophets that are coming, and they're telling you all sorts of things. You know, and as well as I do, that there's some prophets who have predicted stuff in the end times that hasn't come to pass, and they still have TV shows. I just don't understand that. If you're wrong as a prophet, you're wrong. Find another job. But you don't have any credibility with me. If you're wrong, you're wrong. And that's the way it is in scriptures. If you're wrong, you're wrong. In the Old Testament, they would stone them. We're not like that now. But we have to have the same kind of feeling about prophecy and the gifts of the Spirit. It has to come from the Holy Spirit, not from us, not from any other religion. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. And it changes lives when it does. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop, for you can all prophesy in turn so that that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets. That's a good one. That means that, so, you know, I just couldn't hold it back. I just couldn't. I mean, the Holy Spirit was going to come out of me. I couldn't do it. Yes, you can. Just like somebody who falls under the power of the Spirit and the building catches on fire, you don't lie there until God gets you up. You still have control to get up and get out of a burning building. That's super religious garbage. It just said right here that you are subject, that the prophet, the message is subject to the one who's giving it. It doesn't make you any more spiritual if you just think, well, I just couldn't control myself. Well, yes, you can. We can all control ourselves because God is a God of order. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the control of the prophets, for God is not a God of disorder, but of peace, as in the congregations of the people of the Lord's people. And then Paul puts this in here. I was going to leave it out, but I thought I'd just put it in here just to address it. Women, listen, this is important. You should remain silent in the church. They are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as the law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their husbands when they get home, for it is disgraceful for a woman to speak in church. Or did the word of God originate with you? That's pretty harsh, isn't it? It's a cultural thing. It's a cultural thing. It's nothing to do with today, and it's you have to have a covering Well, you have to have a covering. It's the Holy Spirit, the Father, that's the covering. So you don't need to cover your head, and you don't need to. You have to have a covering of the Holy Spirit and of the Father. Okay? And women, speak in the church. Speak. You have the same Holy Spirit, and there's no male nor female. There's no Jew, no Gentile. Everything is equal. That was a cultural thing. The synagogue was broken up, or the temple was broken up into different areas. We're not like that today. We are the temple. And women, you have all the freedom that every man has. You can be anything that God has called you to be. You can be pastors. You can be evangelists. You can be prophetesses. You can be anything. You have the same ability. You're all equal. Do you hear me? I want you to know that. So many churches hang on to this. Well, we can't ordain women. Women can't be on the board. Women can't be here. I want women on the board. I want women pastors. I want to see God move through powerful women evangelists, that prophets. We need to be able to step out in your gifts. I give you complete freedom under my care to move out in the wholeness of the Holy Spirit. But do it in the Holy Spirit. Don't do it in your flesh. Okay? So he ends it this way. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy, and do not forbid the speaking in tongues. So we want you to prophesy. I mean, I was in India, and I don't work in the gift of prophecy, but I remember praying for a bunch of kids, and as we prayed for each one of them, the Holy Spirit just showed me what to say to this person, this little kid who is part of a team that goes out and wins like 4,000 people to Christ. This little kid who's 12 to 14 years old who just has the power of the Holy Spirit working in them. And I remember one, and I probably maybe said this last Sunday, but I laid hands on this little kid, and God said, he's a leader now, but he's going to be a leader in a bigger way in different places in the world. And so I prayed that for him. My interpreter made sure that he understood that. And then when we got up and we were finished, my interpreter says, you know that kid that you prayed for that was the leader? Well, he is the leader of that whole group. And God is using him in mighty ways. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to do. We need to know where we can use our gifts and just say it out. Like, hear what God says and then say it out. Can you do that? Hear what God says and then do it. And whatever that is, and some of you are sitting here and God has told you to do something. He said, I want you to step out in this area. I want you to go here. I want you to give. I want you to speak to this person that you work with. I want you to start a group. I want you to do something, and you know what it is. So do it. Okay? No more excuses. Well, I'm too old. I'm too short. I'm too tall. I'm too fat. I'm too old. I'm too. No, you're not. You think God goes, oh, man, I shouldn't have said that to them because they're too short. What is going on? I got this list, and I'm trying to fill holes with this list. We got to get some people in to do this area, so I'll just take the first 12. Oh, that one's really old, but he'll be okay for a while. No, it's not like that at all. God has given each one of us a gift. And you have that gift, and I want you to encourage you to use that gift, and whatever it is, wherever it is, whatever you need, we as a body of Christ will resource you, encourage you, train you, and release you to do that. If it's here in Richmond, if it's in British Columbia, if it's in anywhere in Canada or anywhere in the rest of the world, we will come alongside you. Tell me what it is. And step out. That's what it's all about. That's what these motivational gifts are about. So Paul says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid the speaking in tongues, but in everything should be done fitting in an orderly way. We need to be orderly. We don't have to be rigid, but we need to be orderly in the Holy Spirit. All right? Renny, you going to come back up? I want you to just get free. Get free in the Holy Spirit. Maybe your gift is worship. I'm looking forward to Recovery Church because this is where we want to develop a whole new church in a sense. And we want you know what, I listened to Rick Warren about Recovery Church, and he says like 90% of people need recovery, another 10% are in denial. Because we're all broken vessels, right? It's not just for drug addicts. It's not just for people with pornography. There's all sorts of things. Any brokenness. There was a guy that gave a testimony on finances. He couldn't keep his finances together, and he was depressed because of it. And whatever it is, I want you to think about even coming and being part of that, because God wants to do some recovery in your life. He wants to make you whole. And then when you're whole, you'll be more easily open to what he wants you to do in this world today. And you go on that adventure with God, you'll never go back. You'll never go back. You'll get up in the morning expecting God to do something through you. What an awesome thing. Even, you know, some mornings you get up and you don't want anybody to do anything through you. You just leave me alone. Your attitude changes because the Holy Spirit says, hey, we're up. This is what I want you to do. And you get pumped because you're doing eternal things. Would you stand with me?